Yeah, tonight we're just going to continue our series on the spiritual disciplines. David's touched the last couple of weeks on, I think it was meditation and fasting, which has definitely given us a lot of to think about. And one of the incredible things about, well, just the good things about the disciplining our Christian life and looking at the spiritual disciplines is sometimes we can feel a little bit stuck and we don't feel as though we're really growing. And that can be for a number of different reasons. But maybe if we take on board some of these spiritual disciplines, that will really, really help us just really grow in our walk with God. I said tonight to Al that I was doing the discipline of study, and he just gave me a funny look. But actually, when I looked at the options, I just thought, oh yeah, I love the Word of God. But what I want you all to know is that when I'm speaking tonight, I'm speaking just as much at myself as what I am to all of you. Because this is a subject that we can all, even myself, feel really, really challenged about, and we'll never all make it. But we're on a journey together, you know, to grapple with the Word of God and just to go deeper. But when we think about studying, it does have a lot of negative thoughts run through our mind. If you say studying to a child, they'll be like, oh, I hate studying. I don't know about teenagers. Do you like studying, teenagers? Oh, I'm like, no. Maybe by the time you get to student age and you study something you're really passionate about, is that exciting? Is anyone studying something they're really passionate about? Yes, a few people. I know at school you're kind of made. Some subjects are better than others, and I know it depends on the teacher and it depends just how engaged they get you. But definitely when we think of studying, we think of, oh, exams, we think of sitting up all night, meeting deadlines. But may I suggest maybe tonight that we can maybe just think of studying in a positive kind of context, particularly when it comes to the Bible. Because God's desire is not to make you do something that you don't want to do. And it definitely doesn't want it to be a chore, but it's something that you're passionate about. It's something that you really, really want to do. And let's have a little bit of looking. But reading and understanding scripture can bring us great joy, particularly when you increase, I don't know if you've got a desire to learn or a desire to go deeper, but when we increase our understanding of God and who God is and God's love for humanity and how God has a plan and a purpose for our life, surely that can just be exciting. Yeah? Would you agree? Yeah, maybe. Well, hopefully by the end of this talk. So the big question I do want to put out tonight is the challenge of what is it that stops us growing? Okay, and I know there can be a number of different reasons, but I want us to think of that question as we're kind of unpacking what I feel God wants to really speak to us tonight. Because so many of us can feel stuck. I've spoken to so many people and it's just like, I'm stuck. I was chatting to someone who's struggling with some major issues just recently and in hospital, and she's just, the words were stuck. I just feel stuck. And you know, God's desire is not for us to feel stuck, but to provide us with a way that we can grow and we can become more Christ-like. So I want to just, maybe the reason, and just put that out there, that the reason why we're feeling a little bit stuck is because we lack a little bit of spiritual discipline. Maybe it could be of this area, study. But I've definitely felt challenged just preparing for tonight with this area, because it's just brought a whole new meaning when we look at the Word of God. So two scriptures I want to unpack tonight, if you've got your Bible, is Romans 12:8 and Philippians 4:8. Romans 12:8 and Philippians 4:8. They're both really, really well-known verses, but sometimes I do feel as Christians that transformation, for some of us, happens immediately. For some of us, it doesn't happen that much. And for others, it's just a journey that we're walking on daily. It's different for all of us, but it's something that's a desire that God has, and that's what he speaks in our word. So Romans 12, verse 8 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what's acceptable and perfect." and Philippians 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And something that I'm really, really passionate about is the study of the mind. Because I believe that the mind is a very, very, very powerful tool when it comes to transformation. If we don't have, like what this verse says in Romans about renewing our minds, if we don't understand that principle through the power of the Holy Spirit, then it is very, very difficult for us to change habits and change behaviour that maybe doesn't coincide with the way that God wants us to live our lives. So I want to have a look at this, but the purpose of instruction is to direct the mind repeatedly and regularly towards certain modes of thought about God and human relationships. So when we think about studying, okay, what we study, determines the kind of habits that are formed in our lives. And that's why Paul in the Philippians verse urges us to focus on things that are true, that are honourable, that are pure, that are just, lovely, gracious. I mean, they all sound like lovely words and think that's really nice, but actually, the way that our world lives is the opposite to a lot of these things. You know, it's about negative, it's about putting people down, it's about gossip, it's about everyone for themselves sometimes. And in a world of negativity, it's really, really hard and easy for us just to go along with that. But when we become a Christian and we look at Romans, the Romans verse about being transformed by the renewing of our minds, we want our minds to come in line with God and with the Holy Spirit so that our thinking pattern is one that that honours God. And it's definitely a challenge and something that we have to work through all through our lives. But when we look at studying, I believe this is a little part of it. So I'm going to just give us some tips and about studying. Some of you might know this already. Some of you might think, oh, that's really good tips for my exam in a few weeks. So when we look at studying, I'm going to talk about two different things, and it might be something you've not necessarily thought about. Verbal, okay, which is study of books, could be lectures, type of thing. That's how we learn. And this non-verbal, things that we observe, okay, the world of nature, could be events, actions, experiences. And I definitely think the second one can have a bigger effect on our learning than the first one. Some of you may disagree, but that's okay. You can disagree with me. But Richard Foster talks about in the celebrations of discipline, he talks about four steps involved in studying. So let me just tell you the four steps involved in studying. Okay, repetition. If you're going to study for an exam, I think it does do you good if you repeat the same thing over and over again. Is that a good way to remember things? No, okay, you do it a different way. But repetition actually does have a massive effect on us. If you watch adverts, I mean, the advertising guys, I've definitely jumped on that bandwagon. If you're watching primetime TV, they'll show the same adverts over and over and again because they know that if you see the same thing over and over again, it will start to have an impact on your life. I don't know if you ever have, if music has an impact on your life. If you listen to the radio, sometimes I'll have the radio in the car and I'll maybe have it on a lot during the week while I'm going from A to B. The same song will get played again, 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 again. But at the end of the week, I'm singing my heart out. I don't even like the song. Repetition affects your mind, okay? It channels the mind in a specific direction, thus ingraining habits of thought. And sometimes we have to make conscious choices about what we fill our mind with. And that's why we go back to the Philippians verse. But it's also proven that repetition without understanding what has been repeated does affect the inner mind, even though you might not realise it. Ingrained habits of thought can be formed by repetition alone, thus changing behaviour. So there's a wee bit of information for you. So repetition, okay, when we're thinking about studying, really helps. Concentration. Who has good concentration? The human mind has an incredible ability to concentrate. I'm sure you guys will all agree with me. But when you think of all the incredible information that your mind has, it's amazing, okay? And you know that how intellectual we are is that the mind can put everything in compartments and push it to the side. I think guys and women, men and women are a little bit different than this, but can push things to the side. And we have the ability, you might not practice it, to concentrate on either one or two particular things, okay? So when you think of that, now, our culture doesn't value concentration because distraction is the order of the day, and I'm sure we can all put our hands up to say I'm easily distracted. I'm definitely easily distracted. I could be doing something in the house and then the phone can ring and then I could forget that I was doing that and do something else and then not always finish things. And it's really, really easy for us to go through the day just a little bit all over the place. And sometimes we don't even go through the day without even having silence. Either the TV's on, the radio's on, Facebook's on, we're multitasking, we're doing 100 different things all at the one time. We're chatting online and reading a book. I don't know if you can do all that at the same time if you're into multitasking. But concentration, that's not our culture. And sometimes we find that really, really hard, even just to experience silence. But these things, our brain has the ability to do that if we create an environment for it to do that. The third one, so repetition, concentration, comprehension, and that's understanding. In John chapter 8, verse 32, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And that's a really, really powerful verse. It's not the truth, but it's actually the knowledge of the truth that kind of sets us free. I don't know if you've ever read something and just thought, yeah, and then read it again and thought, yeah. Maybe a couple of weeks later, I read the same thing. But, oh, yeah, I totally get it. I didn't understand it before. But sometimes it's when we just come into that knowledge and we have that understanding, we think, wow, okay, I've got it. And we just understand it. But sometimes when we think spiritually of things, we use the word revelation. Revelation, or when we get it and we understand something, it brings us to a new level of growth and freedom, and it leads us to insight and discernment. And the fourth little tip that I want to give you is reflection, okay, when we're studying. So comprehension defines what we're studying. Reflection is the significance, okay, of what we're defines the significance of what we're studying. So it brings us God's perspective on things when we have a little look back and think, okay, I can see why this has happened. But Jesus speaks often of ears that don't hear and eyes that don't see. And sometimes, and when we reflect and when we think about things and take that time out, we can come to understand and we can come to see what God is really trying to show us and tell us. A big part of my testimony when I look at these four little tips is that definitely I remember just for so many years of my life when we think about the mind and the battle of the mind and God renewing our minds as I was a Christian for a number of years. And there were so many truths I just didn't believe. And one of the biggest things that I just struggled to believe that I was worth anything. And to live that, have that mindset for so many years, up till I was 18 years old, it meant my mind was full of a lot of negativity, not just about myself, but about other people. And then when I came to that knowledge and read scripture and someone gave me a prophetic word about God's love, and you have that realization, it's like, wow, God loves me. That is incredible. And when you have that realization and you know the truth, it brings transformation to your life. But in reflection, when I looked about that, I can think, okay, God loves me. That's great. I had a lovely encounter with Jesus last week, you know. But what am I going to do to change my life, to align my life with the teaching of what the Bible teaches me? And someone said to me, Rosie, what you need to do is you need to open the Bible and you need to underline all the scriptures that tell you how much God loves you and how great and what he thinks of you, and he's got a plan for you, and he's got a purpose for you. And I was like, cool, I'm up for that. Because I was just so in love with Jesus that I wanted to grow and go deeper. And that's what I did. And that was my journey for my first kind of year of being about 18, just recommitting my life back to God and having that fuller understanding. I remember just picking up Psalm 139 and just learning it from the start to finish. And even though I didn't always feel that God loved me, I would speak these words out. And what does the Bible say? The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. Okay? The word of God brings freedom, and it's really, really powerful, and it's really, really exciting. And that's, when I think of these four little points, all of those is what I experienced. Just that repetition of going over scripture until I start to hide it within my heart and it becomes a reality. And sure enough, you know, what we think becomes and what we train our mind becomes the pattern of how we live, and it starts to change our behaviour and starts to change the way we live our lives, which is really, really exciting. So that's what I kind of want to help us kind of understand a little bit tonight. But in order for us to study, Okay, we need to have a teachable heart. If you're one of these people that thinks you know all or you think you've arrived, then you're not really going to get much out of tonight. Because we're all learning all through our lives. But the key to studying is not to try and consume as much as possible, but just to truly digest what it is that we're reading and to have that understanding. And Richard Foster, in his book, The Celebrations of Discipline, really encourages you that if you're going to read something, don't just read it once, read it again. And if you need to read it again, what was one of the challenges? Pick a book of the Bible that you want to study. And if it's a big book, just read it and read it three times, the bits that you're going through. Or if it's a short book, what was it you said in one of the chapters? Read it every day for a month. And I thought that's a good discipline to have, to read a book, not a big one, a small one, every day for a month, and ask God what he wants to speak to you about and take you deeper. But anyway, let's look at some of the practical implications of studying. Okay, so the first and the most important book that God wants us to study is the Bible, of course. So when we look at the Bible, I think one of the challenges that have really come out when I was kind of studying this is that we can take shortcuts. Okay, sometimes there's three stages, okay, that when we're studying the Bible. So the first one is to understand the background of the passage that you're reading. For some of you, this might be quite basic, and for others, this might be, okay, this is a good tool to really help me study the Word of God. But understand the background of the book. Where is the author coming from? Second little snippet is the interpretation of the book. What does the author mean? And the third one is the application of the book. And how can I apply this to my own life? But you know, in so many of our busy Christian lives, we just go to the third one. We just pick up a scripture and we just read it quickly. And then we give a kind of critical analysis of that verse. And we don't even understand the context to which the verse is written or where it's coming from. So what I want to just let you know tonight is there's a big difference between studying the scriptures and the devotional reading of scriptures. That both are good. Okay, in studying, a high priority is placed in interpretation. And when we do the devotional reading of Scripture, a high priority is placed on what it means to me. And it's really important that when we are really serious about growing in our faith and just going deeper and wanting, having that passion just to learn more about God's Word, to learn more about God's character, is to take a little bit of time out to study and to learn and to grow, and maybe think of these little few things: understanding the background of the book, interpreting the book, and the application of the book. And we've got so many tools to us today. We've got the internet, and before the internet you would have had to go and buy commentaries and different things like that. But you know, we just got all these things on our doorstep to help us just learn more about the scripture and understand more about the background of the passage. Sometimes I really encourage, this is a challenge to me, that we need to take a little bit of time out. I think we can go through seasons of our life. I remember when I was 18, I took a gap year. And, you know, my life wasn't busy. I was just serving God and I was in Brazil. And during that time, I had an amazing ability to read so much of the Word of God. And if you go through seasons in your life, if you have summer holidays and you think, I'm not doing much, I really, really encourage you to take big chunks of Scripture if you've got that time. To go deeper and do things that you might not have the time to do in your everyday busy activity. And sometimes I remember when I was 20, I took another gap year and I went to New Zealand. That was another year where I was able just to go deeper and deeper and deeper and just to learn and to grow more in my understanding of what the Bible really teaches. But when we look at studying the Bible, there's other things that come alongside us that help us to understand. Experience is one of them. Other books, live discussions with friends and other people who are studying as well. These are all aids to help us. And you always find that experience is important. If you experience something and you're reading about something that you've experienced, you can identify with it, and that can be quite important as well. So that's the study of verbal books. And this may be something that you've maybe not thought of before, but the study of non-verbal books. When we think of having that time with God, or we having some time out, the Bible is full of the Psalms, Isaiah. There's so many different verses about man's spending time with nature. And when we spend time with nature, and how we just see how big and how great God really is. I know in our country, when it's sunshine, everybody's happy. It's like, yay, everybody's happy. Everyone's talking about how great the weather is, even if it's only twice in the summer. And when it rains, we moan and we grumble and we talk about how terrible it is and everything. But, you know, I don't know if you've watched an incredible sunset. Or I remember Kirk and I were going through a really hard time at the beginning of the year, and we came back from the hospital and there was just a big rainbow right over the sky. And it was just God just speaking to us and just saying, remember my promises. Remember my promises over your life. And I just think, wow. And I think it's incredible. Nature speaks volumes. And some of you might think, yeah, whatever, Rosie. I'm not really into birds and trees and all that sort of things. But you know what? Just to look around us, what is it that you are into? Because when we see something really, really beautiful, we get to engage with our Creator. It's a way that we can learn and grow in God. It's like we're studying, but it's not through a book type of thing. I remember I've got, Kirk and I have just been back from our holiday, and we went to the Isle of Barra. I don't know if you know where that is. It's the Outer Hebrides, and it's the bottom island. But I just, beaches after beaches after beaches after beaches. I mean, honestly, I'm just like the happiest person on the planet, walking my dogs on endless beaches. And it didn't rain that much when we were there. And it just makes me just feel so close to God, just to experience some of these things and just to worship him and just to declare, God, you truly are great and you truly are awesome. In Isaiah 51, I just want to, verse 12, I want to read you a verse. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The handiwork of the Creator can speak to us in all different situations. And it's something that maybe we can just take note of. Even just through animals and lots of different things. I don't know if you're an animal. I'm an animal lover. And I've got two little cocker spaniels. And they're just happy all the time. I wake up every morning and I've got two little excited faces that just want to greet me as if they haven't seen me for 5 years. And it's just such a happy place, happy home to have two dogs. And if you treat dogs well, they just give you love and affection. That's all they do all the time. And it's great just having that in your house. You take them for a walk. We go the same route every day. They don't care. They don't moan. They don't grumble. Oh, we've been this way already. We're walking this way again. They just wag their tails and just love it. They just love anything that you give them. Whatever food you give them, they'll love it. They just don't complain and they don't mumble. And yeah, it just makes me realise sometimes, just even in my life, that we moan and we grumble. And sometimes, yeah, we can learn so much from observing things. Another kind of another thing we can study, the principal objects of study should be ourselves. You might think this is a bit weird, okay, but when we think of these passages that I've read at the start, and I want to read them again at the end, maybe we will understand. We need to learn a lot about ourselves and ask God to show us the things that he wants us to change. Because is that our desire to become more Christ-like? Maybe we can learn. I don't know if you're a moody person. What makes you moody? Do you slam doors in your house? What is it that controls us? You know, all these inner feelings. What do we like and what don't we like in people? Do you ever walk past or you're interacting with someone and that person just really annoys me? Well, why do they annoy you? You know, is it important to know these things? What do these things teach us about ourselves? And I think it's really important to study ourselves with the spirit of humility and also with a large dose of grace that we need to. Relationships, do you ever observe relationships between people and family relationships? And it's something I've done all the way through my life and I've just actually never noticed. But have you ever met people in a family unit and think, well, I want to be like that? You know, I love the way that they just interact as a family. That's really, really great. Or being in another situation where you're thinking, oh my goodness, I never want to be like that. That's awful. Do you really speak to each other like that? You know, we're learning all the time, but we're not there judging people. We're learning about how to do life and how to do life. And when we align that with what the Bible teaches us, we can just learn so much. We learn so much at home, at work, at university, at school. And it's really, really interesting. before Kirk and I got married, we did an introduction to the marriage course, and there was a suggestion that before you make that massive decision to get married, that you really should discuss a whole pile of topics, just so that you know you're learning about each other and you know that you're both kind of on the same page. And some of those topics were, you know, just what are your aspirations for marriage, relationships, what are your goals for life? You don't really want to spend the rest of your life with someone who's got a completely different goal from you and they can't really fit you into. Children, that's probably a really important thing to discuss. Finances and how you spend your money, that's a massive point of contention for a lot of couples. It's really important to have these discussions before you get married. Material goods, how important is that to you? Is it important that you have a big house? Is it important you have a small house? You know, are you talking? Do you have the same dream of these things? About your faith? And about the whole physical aspect of marriage, about sex as well. These are things that you should be discussing before you get married. But believe me, when you get married, you learn a lot about yourself and you learn a lot about the other person. You learn a lot about the things that you need to change. And you both need to change in order to live in harmony in the home that you've just set up together. And I'm sure every single married couple will tell you that. But what I want to just really illustrate tonight is that when we look at transformation and spiritual growth, we really need to pay attention to it in our life and look at how we study the Bible. And this is not a talk to bring condemnation, to think, oh, we don't study the Bible very much. I think the challenge that I've taken away tonight is really just to set aside time and say, this is really important for me to understand, to learn, to grow, and to know what the Bible teaches about so many different areas of our life. Guys, the Word of God is really, really powerful. And when I go back to Romans 12 and I go back to that verse, I just think for so many times we just don't get it. But these are two of the most incredible verses that just help us become more Christ-like. And I just want to read them again. Romans 12:8, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And God's desire is that when we become a Christian and we come into a relationship with Him, that daily transformation takes place. He loves us far too much to leave us the way that we are. And it has to start with the mind. And in this world where people don't really talk about how we should be thinking or teach us how we should be thinking, and the Bible has so much to say about how we should be thinking. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellence, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. It's a massive challenge for each and every one of us. There's another verse that it's just my burning desire daily, and I don't know if it wants to become yours or it is already, but in Psalm 119, verse 15, I will study your commands and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decree and not forget your word. And if I go up to verse 11, the psalmist talks about hiding God's word in his heart. And these are just tools to help us grow, to help us go deeper, to help us encounter God in an incredible way. And just to close, I was at a Light in Life event, and not event, but a training night. We meet up once a month just to learn and grow in the prophetic and to study the Bible together as a group of like-minded people to understand what the Bible has to say about listening to God's voice and going deeper. And they were trying to stretch us on Monday night. So we practice every month. We always prophesy with each other and we hear God for each other. And I've never felt so encouraged. I've never been in a group and felt so encouraged. Every time I go, God just speaks to me volumes. And it's just absolutely incredible. And I just come home really excited. But Monday night was an exceptional, amazing night, because I just went with an expectation, just think, okay, God, what do you want to do tonight? And someone gave me a prophetic word. And we do it all the time. You think, oh, that's great. That's really nice. That's really, really encouraging. But then later on through the session that we were doing, Jane, who was teaching us, really challenged us to go out of our comfort zone. She says, right, what you want to do is I want you to close your eyes, okay? And someone to stand in the middle, and then just, you know, seven of you all just stand around that person. And then you can move around just slowly, and the person in the middle who's got their eyes shut has to ask God for a word. And then any of you, just when you're ready, put your hand on that person's shoulder, the person in the middle of the circle, and just speak out a word, you know? But you can't see the person. I was like, oh my goodness, this is so freaky, it's so scary. I'm never going to be able to hear God. Because sometimes when we look at people, we can have this our thoughts get in the way of what God wants to say. And sure enough, the first person went, and they turned around, and the person with their eyes shut in the middle prophesied a word of knowledge over that person, and they thought, and it was, yeah, wow, that was an incredible word. And then a couple of people into it, I put my hand on the person in the middle shoulder, and they begin to prophesy a word of knowledge, and it was the exact same word that the person 20 minutes previously had given. And that makes me just stand in awe to think, God, you are just so incredible. You know, just to confirm something within 20 minutes that God wants to do great things and has got a plan and a purpose and just revealing the secret things of his heart. But, you know, the Word of God plays a big part in that for us to get into Scripture. So maybe just the challenge that I want to give us tonight is just to, even just for God, just to restore that passion. If you're not feeling it at the moment for his Word, and just to go deeper. Or for God just to continue to bless what he's doing already. If you're feeling really excited and really fired up and really passionate, I just encourage you. I'm not here to condemn you, that if you want to take some time out and go deeper, do it. Spend that time, because it'll only but benefit your Christian walk and growth. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you're a great big God. Lord, we can learn so much from experiences, from watching other people, from just looking around and observing your creation, and just to know how great you are. Forgive us, Father, for the time sometimes we're lazy and we just dip in and out of the Bible just whenever we feel like it. But Lord, I pray that you will just put that hunger, like what we were singing about earlier on, God, just to hunger for you. And just to go to great depths and to understand your word. Just restore that passion to those tonight that just feel they need to have that restored. God, I thank you that you love every single person here, that you don't condemn us, Lord. You know the journey that we're on. God, you know the things that we struggle with and the things that we rejoice with. And Lord, I pray that you'll just meet everybody where they're at tonight. But for all of us, God, give us an excitement just to go deeper and a passion to go deeper, because you truly are a great God. I just ask these things in your most powerful name. Amen.